Just focus on the problems and hold the side for you. Look at the thing about what we can see. To find the body, it's having telling us Caravaggio from about 1600 and it's called the calling of St. Matthew. And as I said, I thought it's got something to concentrate on, it becoming confirmed and affect by our home confirmation and always rule. In the painting, you can see several things. On this side, St. Peter with his back slightly to us, he's focusing on Jesus, and Jesus with his hand reaching out across the screen. One of the priests said it looks a bit like the finger in the Sistine Chapel painting of the Creation. A shot of a beam of light streams across the screen, and it lands from the same distance the finger points to Matthew, and we see pointing to himself. Around him are other contemporary Italian merchants, crouched over the counter table, counting everyone. So I wrote, and but in the middle there is Matthew, surprised by the call of Jesus to follow him, and surprised by the light of God that's about to become strength into his life. Another photo of this painting said, in a room at the end of greed and momentary, we now see the line of cross, and the darkness has not overcome. That's a lovely way to put it. There's also a story about this painting. Apparently, it was commissioned for a church in Rome, and Caravaggio painted as he did, going out to the streets and using the contemporary dress of insane people to depict those biblical characters rather than stereotype biblical robes. So when he finished it, the church for which he commissioned it said he refused to pay for it. They said it didn't look religious enough. Caravaggio said to the Father, our Lord loved and did it with the common people. That is the Lord I paint. I love that. Our Lord loved and called the common people. It's the truth of the calling of at the heart of the calling of St. Matthew. It's the truth of much of Jesus' ministry, actually. And it's true at the heart of our call, too, that our Lord loves and calls the common people. We sometimes forget that Jesus knows us as we are, and that this is where he meets us, and that he calls us of who we are, not who we think we ought to be. Today's message opens with Matthew, but opens with Jesus walking along. He's been going about a ministry of teaching and healing, and now he stops seeing Matthew, and he calls him to follow him. We have no idea why. Did he see something in Matthew? Did he know Matthew? Did he feel something from Matthew in the plight he was in? We have to wonder, as we are with any of these stories, actually. I'm talking about our own story, of course. Then read that Matthew, on hearing this invitation from Jesus to follow him, gets up and goes. Again, no explanation of why. And I guess that's not really the point, because the focus is on Jesus who calls, and his call then enables us to respond. In my imagination, I might wonder, was there something about the way Jesus looked at Matthew that day that was different? On that day when Matthew looked up from his counter table and saw Jesus, I might think that what he saw was not the usual disdain that Matthew saw, but someone looking straight through him with a look of unconditional love that saw Matthew fully. That saw the deep down Matthew that was getting lost in this terrible jolt that he gave. That it saw the deep down Matthew and that Matthew was stirred and responded so eagerly. Here from Matthew was a new beginning, a new divine. A lovely reflection on this gospel passage, and she wrote, Jesus saw him. The perfect embodiment of God's will must have been what Matthew the tax collector sensed as he was walking along and towards him. As Jesus was walking along, he saw of Matthew, saw him in all his personal and abusive and vulnerability. He saw him and addressed him with a personal call, follow me. In other words, come with me, enter into a relationship with me, join me in my relationships with others, Help me create a community that embodies and fosters growth through our mood. Just clear it. We concluded, we can only imagine the impact that Jesus' intimate, accepting, loving gaze had on humanity. The gospel simply says, got up and followed him. And the same shifts. Jesus was at dinner with what Matthew tells us are many tax collectors and sinners. This kind of doesn't seem to worry Jesus. I think of Caravaggio's Inside Out on a love day full of common people, and he says, but it certainly worried the religious leaders. They grumbled, saying to the disciples, and I imagine anyone else who would listen to them, why does this so-called teacher hang out with such losers? Now, we know that their question doesn't come from an interest in the answer, or curiosity or wonder. It doesn't come from a desire to understand what Jesus is about. It is a judgment, because the good religious folks, they see themselves, are shocked by what they see as a behaviour that falls outside of the boundaries of accepted them. Someone put it, those who are righteous according to the law do not pray bread with those they deem to be outside the world. And yet Jesus, the Son of God, does. Jesus then teaches them, saying, I desire this, not sacrifice. Challenges their understanding of the law. This is the core of this encounter, because this whole scene is a demonstration of God's unconditional love. That is what drives Jesus' ministry. Whether it is calling Matthew a tax collector, or any with a talent rejecting him, or healing or teaching, or even dying with the Pharisees as Jesus does. In all of this, Jesus embodies God's unconditional love. And he invites us firstly to respond to that, and then as people who know that love, to share it with others as best we can. And we do that in his grace. What we see in this scene of Jesus calling Matthew, dining with Matthew's friends, is that the Jesus who perfectly embodies God's love knows that the source of genuine conversion is always unconditional love. Any transformation that will occur among the band of people Jesus sat with that day was because of loving acceptance and trusting opinion. In this step around the table of which my picture Jesus and those tax collectors and sinners who attract the powers of attention, you might wonder which of those are the disciples and which of the tax collectors and sinners. But is there actually any difference? Because in truth, aren't we all embraced by the unconditional transformative love of the world? All invited to experience and to follow the experience of vulnerable and trusting community? And aren't we all, tax collector, Pharisee, and everyone in between, empowered by the loving look of Jesus to respond to God's mercy? That's what's at the heart of this tale, that we are all one in Christ, all swept up and empowered by the loving gaze of Christ. All called to respond with mercy and love. And not just to people like ourselves, that was the Pharisees' fault, but also to those that others cannot see, the Matthews and others of this world. And as we confirm you today, as you respond, you're responding to that unconditional love of God in particular ways. I have no doubt that your parents have been part of why you are responding today, but you are also responding. God is for good here, and I hope that you will hold on to the truth of the unconditional love of God in everything in your life, today and every day. I hope that you know that God is at work in you all the time, even the days when you're not so sure about that. When I look back on my confirmation, I had no idea of what was happening. We all just sort of went along. I imagined it was a common theme. I heard someone talking. But I, as you know, that God's worked in my life, and honor and complete unity. Have been fortunate to have a people that also nurtured that faith and love of God, knowing the richness of the faith of God's unconditional love. This community will be that community that reminds you all the time then that God loves you. God calls and we respond together. And the best bit of the good news, I think, is that because God already loves us as we are, we don't need to work hard at responding, just so we have to earn that love in and keep it, which can be ourselves. And we can stay close to God, knowing that He stays close to us. We stay close through our worship and our prayer, through our Bible reading and reflection, through our Christian friends and community and church. And with one another. We are on the journey together. Thou Lord loved and called the common people. That is the Lord which I love. That is the God in Christ whom we follow. And in Him we pray that this loving God who loves you and loves you deeply will be your companion throughout life. Continue to draw you deeper to Himself and to continue to deepen your faith and trust in Him. Each day as well. Amen. Amen.